You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm your host, Tracy Ross. Kate Lochte's joined me in the studio, and on the phone we have Paducah photographer Glenn Hall, and we're going to talk about his documentary, Darkwater. Glenn, thank you so much for being on Sounds Good today.
Thank you.
Glenn, I think it would be wise for our listeners to go to Facebook and go to the Darkwater page and sort of follow along. The work that you're doing with commercial fishermen in our region really has to do with documenting a need for changes in easings in regulations with Kentucky Fish and Wildlife about their harvest programs with respect to this invasive species. But start at the beginning. Tell me how your interest was piqued in this subject area.
Probably 2011, during the big flood that we had here, we were working on another project to go out and document the flood during that time. And the traffic on the river was closed to commercial transportation, except for commercial fishermen, I think, still had access to the river. So we were out then. So at that time, I was exposed to just these commercial fishermen, and I had no idea they were working the rivers like this. It took about another year to get back in touch with them, and then a few more months to kind of build a bond to work with them. And once I found out that they were fourth and fifth generation families, and just a handful of families that are working the rivers here, so it kind of started that story, I guess, yeah.
Preliminarily, you photographed these men and had an exhibition at Gallery 1025, I believe. And
yeah.
I must also suggest our listeners go to glennhallphotography.com. You can see the still photos there of remarkable people who are working the rivers.
And more and more as we talk to them, that's how the Asian carp started to surface. It seemed like everybody we talked to, just Asian carp started coming out of their mouth. You know, that seemed to be the primary topic.
The Asian carp are a primary topic because they are crowding out indigenous species of game fish.
Yes, yes. They are creating quite a environmental issue in our ecosystem. They are not a native fish.
They also reproduce hugely.
They produce 3 to 4 times a year. They're quite prolific and have, you know, hatch millions of eggs. They need like moving water, 20 to 30 miles of moving water for their eggs to float and hatch down the river. So the rivers are perfect for these fish. Yeah.
What is the current policy that Kentucky Fish and Wildlife have about what the commercial fishermen can or cannot do with respect to harvesting the carp?
Right now, there's a netting season from November 1st till March. That's the time of year where there's not a lot of recreation boaters and sport fishing out on the lakes at that time. So they have a little more leeway then to put out nets, but they still are restricted to they need to document where they are, what type of nets you're putting out. They have to keep up with the bycatch, which could be anything from catfish to paddlefish to buffalo as well. So some of that fish they can keep, some they can't. It depends on the season, I think, too, as far as what paddlefish are in a certain time of the season, which I think is coming up, actually.
Do I recall in the Vimeo clip of the documentary you're working on, the video documentary, that the price for Asian carp per pound is like 15 cents versus a game fish, which might be 50 or 60 cents a pound.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest issues, too. There's not a big market for Asian carp. I think it's even less than that now. It's maybe 8 or 10 cents a pound. So there's not a lot of incentive to bring in Asian carp until that changes. I don't know. You know, it's going to have to, something's going to have to give, I think, there. So, I mean, when they can go out and catch catfish and buffalo for 30 to 50 cents a pound, yeah, there's, that's a kind of a no-brainer there. But
so you have an environmental crisis occurring with no ostensible way to address it directly, and that's what brings you, Glenn Hall Photography, into a partnership with the Jackson Purchase Foundation. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. The Jackson Purchase Foundation is, they do a lot of work as far as continuing to help develop sustainable environmental projects with a lot of companies around here, too. So they partnered with us on taking on this project as well.
So we have the project for which you have an Indiegogo campaign, and it is just the Darkwater documentary. Tell us what that documentary will look like.
Well, we hope to kind of capture a lot of the scenic area where we are in this Ojibwe River Valley. It's a beautiful area, and so we want to try to capture that. We want to try to capture some of the environment with these families, these fourth and fifth generation commercial fishermen. We want to try to also capture the recreational side of it, sport fishing, kind of show everybody that's using, you know, the resources here within the two reservoirs and the rivers. So, yeah, pretty much.
And to do this, so far you are filming fishermen from their boats, and
right,
you would
right.
like to be able to film from another perspective. Describe what you seek with the Indiegogo campaign.
We're trying to raise enough money to get it like a used boat that we can use to shadow the fishermen when they're out there. As well as just to supplement some of the other equipment that we need. We've lost some equipment in getting hit actually from jumping carp. We've had cameras, you know, we lost a camera that got hit from an Asian carp. I've been hit and several people have been hit with them. So it's I kind of underestimated the force of this this fish, and it's unbelievable when you're out there. When they start coming out of the water, it's just amazing.
I'm not sure that I completely understood the point about the placement of the nets having to be close to the surface of the water, because these carp have great eyes and they jump a lot, and that's a methodology for getting them. Can you clear that up for me?
These fish are not that easy to catch. They're pretty smart. They can see the nets. They will jump. Fish and wildlife regulations require the nets to be at least 3 feet under the water surface. Most of the time, the fish will jump right over that. So certain times during the netting season, they are allowed to keep the nets at the water surface to try to help prevent that. But they're pretty smart fish. They can fish them around them. They'll jump them. they're not that easy to catch. But the commercial fishermen are pretty sharp. I've worked with a lot of them, and they got a lot of tricks. And they're the only guys out there that are going to make a difference in putting a damper on, you know, how much Asian carp is out there.
Glenn, your photographs have a National Geographic sense about them.
Thank you.
How did you arrive at that aesthetic? Have you been doing your craft for years and years now?
Oh, yeah. I've been photographing probably over 30 years. something that's just been a passion, you know, from day one, I think, really. So I think it's just, you know, just over time, I think you just kind of develop a certain way you like to see, you know, and express.
Once again, you can see the still pictures of The Commercial Fisherman by Glenn Hall at glennhallphotography.com. You can also find the click to the Indiegogo campaign that Glenn Hall Photography and the Jackson Purchase Foundation are collaborating in. When do you hope for the documentary to be complete?
We were hopefully trying to complete it later in 2014. We still have a ways to go. There's still some other interviews. Some of it depends on some funding, but we're moving ahead on it. We're still working pretty hard on it. So that's kind of a timeline.
Well, before we go away, I'd like to get your impression of what I seem to see, that the carp jump as they hear the sound of a motor going by?
They are startled by a sound, and certain, and I think even some people have pinned it down to a certain decibel, I think, that startles them. But I think they also, fight or flight type of reaction as well. And the silver carp are the ones that jump the most. I don't think the big heads or blacks don't jump, but it's mostly the silvers. I don't know why, but the silvers are the ones you see jumping.
Goodness, a remarkable occurrence in our region, and I gather you're the only one documenting it at this point. Thank you for speaking with us today,
yeah.
Glenn.
Thank you. Thank you, Kate, very much.